This afternoon, we'd like to see the title, Bildad's Answer, in Job chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. For online pupil students, especially Jeremy, a student in North Korea, and some is Iranian too. Question three here. Number one, what's the main point of this Bildad's answer? The question one, what's the main point of this Bildad's answer in this chapter 8? Question two, in verse 2, how long will you speak these things, and the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? What does the word of a strong wind mean in this context? How long will you speak these things, and the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? What does the word of a strong wind mean in this context? Last question, in verses 19 through 22, like Bildad's intimation, is suffering always a direct result of a personal sin? So last question, in verses 19 through 22, like Bildad's intimation. Intimation meaning indirect suggestion. That's called intimation or implication. Is suffering always a direct result of a personal sin? So first of all, we want to see the overview of the book of Job. Book of Job is the main theme, whether or not a child of God can suffer even if he is innocent. The question, whether or not a child of God can suffer even if he is innocent. That's a question. So as we know, chapter 1 and chapter 2, Job, a wealthy and upright man, but he lost his possessions, his children, and his health to the like a leprosy kind of disease, his health. Job did not understand why he was suffering. So that's why his three friends' name, first Eliphaz. Eliphaz in the last chapter talked about that. Second, Bildad. Today, we are studying Bildad's opinion. Third one, Zophar. So three friends advised wrongfully that suffering is always a direct result of a personal sin. Trying to persuade Job to repent his sin or his hidden sin. But the last friend name is Elihu, the first friend, because the last chapter's area, so the Elihu, you know, advises that although Job was innocent, God allowed him suffering to be humble. For example, up to Jesus' death on cross, submission to God's will. It is partially true because suffering does purify our faith, such as tainted integrity. So because of suffering, the mortify, you know, the tainting part from, you know, pure integrity kind of thing. So suffering contributes to perfect faith, or, you know, suffering contributes to lacking nothing. So according to, you know, James chapter 1. But God is beyond our comprehension, and we cannot know why God allows each instance of suffering to come into our lives. So, which means God has absolute sovereignty. God controlled not only the earth, but also the universe. So God controls everything. So we cannot understand each moment. So our part requires faithfulness, our full trust in the Lord. Last time we talked about the first friend in Eliphaz declared to Job in Job chapter 4 verse 7. He said, remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where would the upright ever cut off? This means a basic rhetorical question, whoever perished being innocent. So which meaning no innocent person can be perished. So a man does not suffer unless he's really done something wrong. And the intimation or indirect suggestion or implication is that Job had to be some kind of a sinner to have suffered as much as he did. Surely this is God's stroke of judgment upon him, his loss of possession, his loss of children, his loss of health. But Job protested his innocence, and so the second of these friends, whose name was Bildad, today chapter 8, speaks of chapter 8, verse 1. But the last time Job protested that he was innocent, in the last chapter 7, verses 19 through 21. How long? This one basically, Job protested that he was innocent to God. How long will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva or spittle? Have I sinned? So which meaning, I have not sinned. Have I sinned, the Lord? What have I done to you? Oh, watch of man, what's wrong to me? Why have you set me as your target? Your target meaning right now his condition is like a leprosy condition. So that I am a burden to myself. Why then do you not pardon my transgression? Do you not forgive me my transgression, if any, and take away my iniquity, or my sinfulness, my wrongdoing? Take away my wrongfulness. For now I will lie down in the dust, which meaning my body will become into dust. And you will seek me diligently. So Lord, you will seek me continually as a target, but I will no longer be, because I will die and I will perish away into dust. That kind of the intimation, indirect suggestion to the Lord, you know, I am innocent. So I am, you know, grievous. So how come, you know, you gave me, you know, so miserable, you know, sufferings like that? Then today, Bildad, you know, the response, you know, his Job's you know, allegation of his innocence. Then Bildad, the Shuhite meaning a person who resides in Shur area, Shuhite, answered and said, "How long will you speak of these things? How long will you, Job, speak of these allegations of your innocence? And the words of your mouth be like a strong wind." Strong wind, you know, what does it mean? Strong empty word, or a strong pointless word, or a strong, you know, useless word. Like, you know, Job's answer to Eliphaz's, you know, advice in, you know, Job chapter 6, you know, verse 26. Job said, "Do you intend to rebuke my words and the speeches of a desperate one, which are as a wind?" So Job indicated his friend, you know, Eliphaz's advice to accuse the Job to be sinner. So like that is Job's response to Eliphaz's advice. He said, "Your advice is a wind." Wind meaning useless, not helpful, pointless. That's the same token here, like a strong wind. So which means strong empty word, strong pointless word. So which your allegation of innocence is invalid, because strong wind, you know, so like that. Then is verse 3. "Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty meaning God, the Almighty God pervert justice? That means, is God fair? Is God unfair, you know, like that. Is God just? Which meaning God isn't unjust, you know, like that. For example, you know, Eve was tempted by Satan, so Satan raised the issue, you know, God's justice and so like that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man meaning Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. There is no exception. Absolute term. You shall surely die. Clearly, God stayed there. But Satan, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, now the serpent or Satan was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, to Eve, has God indeed said, or has God truly said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Here, Eve, you know, added God's word, you know, nor shall you touch it. So God never said touch it, just you shall not eat it, you know, like a little, you know, twist in, you know, God's word. That kind of, you know, the Satan's, you know, the sneakiness, you know, to touch that. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Satan, you know, brought the satanic word, you know, contradictory to, you know, God's word. You know, God said you shall die. Here, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the Satan perverted God's justice, God's fairness, God's judgment. It's like the perverted God's judgment. That is satanic. So God is always fair. God is always justice. So also, city of Sodom destruction case, you know, there is God want to destroy city of Sodom who committed, you know, spiritual adultery and a lot of sin. Here, chapter 18, verse 23-24. And Abraham came near and said, would you, God, also destroy the righteous people with the wicked people together? Looks like if destroy together, it seems unfair. Here, suppose there were 50 righteous people within the city, would you also destroy the place, not spare it for the 50 righteous people that were in it? That's Abraham's question. Then the Abraham continued to ask the question, if there is 50 righteous people, so then God answered, you know, I will spare 50 righteous, then 40, 30. Finally, then Abraham said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak about once more. Suppose 10 righteous people should be found there, and God said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10 righteous people, like that. So God is always fair, always just, but the human being, you know, attempt to pervert, or Satan pervert, you know, God's justice or righteousness, exactly like that. Does God subvert judgment? Rhetorical question. So build out, you know, the position is God is always justice, or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, this is a very cruel intimation. Your sons have sinned against him. As you know, Job's sons already were killed. You know, because chapter 1, Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 said, while he was still speaking, he meaning Job's servant. Job's servant was still speaking. Basically, Job's servant was still reporting to Job, his master Job. Another servant also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Like they had a banquet, you know, all you know, their children, you know, brothers and sisters like that. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness, like a typhoon, you know, eastern state, you know, heavy storm, heavy wind like that, and struck the four corners of the house, the four pillars supporting the house. And it fell upon the young people. Young people meaning young children. And they were dead. They are instantly killed. And I alone have escaped to tell you, to report Job. Because already Job's children were killed by storm, by wind, by strong wind. But here, verse 4 said, if your sons have sinned against him, against God, God has cast them away for their transgression. Which meaning your children were slain because of their sins, their hidden sins. That kind of not really comforting word to Job, basically cruel indirect accusation. Isn't it? In fact, already he lost, you know, the 10 children. Then he said, if your son have sinned against God, he has God cast them away for transgression, or God, you know, has killed them for their transgression, some like that. That is really basically result-oriented advice. Result-oriented advice. If result bad, so which meaning cause must be bad. Result good, the cause must be good. That kind of you know the logical not always you know work through. So we can see you know. Result bad, but cause you know, good, you know, kind of thing. So many way, because Iranian mission approach, they are you know two, the Christians were killed by Iranian government 2003, the other one 2005, like that. So because you know when you know we think of only earthly life. You know, two guys were killed. That is a bad result, you know, because they killed by somebody. But because of their the martyr, so today 1 million New Testament printed is being spreading out in Iranian government, Iranian area. That is a miraculous work. So, because not you know, always, you know, certain point of life, certain point of time, bad results, it does not mean the cause is the bad cause at all. Because sometimes, you know, we can see, you know, later, you know, find out, you know, why you know, God allows the innocent, you know, children of God, you know, suffering, you know, kind of thing, you know, too. Here, verse 5 through 7, if you would earnestly seek God, earnestly meaning honestly or heartily seek God, and make your supplication to the Almighty, your supplication, your strong petition to the Almighty, strong petition for what? Which meaning, hi, Job, you should repent your sin. Your hidden sin before God, then you are seeking God, you know, truly, you know, without you know hidden sin, you know, that kind of you know sense like that. Because this is a job, you know, chapter 8, basically poetry. not in the plain or directory suggestion, no such thing. This kind of indirect suggesting word, like a poetry. So if you are pure and upright, how can he be pure? Yeah, only he first step, he should repent his sin. That moment he can be pure, right? So this, if you are pure and upright, or if you repent your sins heartily and you are forgiven by God, that moment you are pure and upright, surely now God would awake for you. God would take care of you, which meaning God would deliver you from your leprosy kind of disease, deliver you, and prosper your rightful dwelling place. So prosper. Right now, the Job sit on dust, no rightful dwelling place at all, like the mud area and dust area kind of thing. It's very miserable place. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. So basically, God will give a prosper you progressively from small thing up to abundantly. Verse 8 says, for inquire please of the former age. Former age, which meaning the Job, probably he lived before Noah's flood age. So before Noah's flood age, those people lived about for 1,000 years, not like 100 years, very long time they lived there. One example, Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, Job's age, he lived 969 years old. So Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, basically said, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So basically that time, those people lived for a long time, 1,000 years. So basically, learn from history, consider the things discovered by their fathers. For we were born yesterday, and now nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow, which meaning our life is too short. Our life is too short. So you should learn from history, for fathers. So what truth of history? Basically, every bad result comes from bad cause. That kind of, something wrong come from something wrong region, kind of thing. So here, will they not teach you and tell you and utter words from their hearts? So basically, verses 8 to 10, hi Job, you should learn the truth from history. Basically, what truth? Basically, every suffering is always a direct result of a personal sin. You should learn from history, that point of view. Verse 11, can the papyrus or rushi grow up without marshy or without mire? This one basically, Nile's river, there are a lot of mire. They are grew up papyrus plant. So King James said rushi, New King James said papyrus. So papyrus plant grew up from mud, Nile River mud. This is kind of same meaning. A good result must have a good cause. A bad result must have a bad cause. This is a papyrus coming from mud. So without myrrh, no papyrus. Also, can the reeds or flat flourish without word? Here, that same thing. Reeds are results. Reeds come from cold water. So no water, no reeds, kind of thing. So which meaning good result must come from good cause. bad results must come from bad cause, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So verse 12, while it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Here is, you know, basically hypocrite implied to Job is a hypocrite, because Job did not repent his hidden sin. Like that, you know, some plant is green, so that green, you know, cannot stand a long time, you know, like that. And the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. That hope is a wrong hope. So also, whose confidence shall be cut off? So confidence in something other than God is vain. So confidence in vain hope. Whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web. Spider's web is very temporary, you know. Strong wind, you know, kind of spider web is gone, you know, like that, you know. So very, you know, temporal, very unstable, you know, kind of thing. This is poetry, you know, the intimation, you know, kind of thing. He leans on his house, but it does not stand. Because, you know, which means Job, if you continually stay on something other than God, or trust in vain hope, so you will perish, you know, that kind of thing. But it does not stand. He holds it fast, but it does not endure. He grows green in the sun, and his branches spread out in his garden. He roots a wrap around the rock heap and look for place in the stones. If he is destroyed from his place, then it will deny it, means his place will deny him, saying, I have not seen you. So basically means, hi Job, you know, if you stay on wrong hope, or if you trust in other than God, you know, so you were, you know, the you would be vain, you know, ultimately. So all, you know, the staying, all confidence is temporary, not long enough, you know. That's why, you know, the bottom line, you have a wrong relationship with God. That is a bottom line implication. Or you lack a right relationship with God. No right relationship with God. How can Job have a right relationship with God? First of all, you should repent your hidden sin. Then you eagerly seek God. Then, you know, God will prosper you. God will deliver you. That kind of stuff. Verse 19, behold, look, this is the joy of his ways. So which meaning you repent your sin, you will be joyful. This is the joy of his way, God's way. And out of the earth, others will grow. Behold, look, God will not cast away the blameless, which meaning God will not punish the innocent people, blameless people. So which means, Job, you are not innocent, because you had a disease, you know, like leprosy, you lost your possession, you lost your children, so you are not innocent. So you should repent your sin. So you will not, God, you know, will not punish the innocent, nor will he uphold the evildoer, but God will punish the evildoer, wrongdoer. So your present condition is likely punishment of God, so which meaning you are evildoer. So like that. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing, laughing or joyfulness, joy with joy, and your lips with rejoicing. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame. So because you have a right possession, right relation with God, somebody hate you, will be shamed by God, because God will protect the innocent people who has a right relationship with God, you know, that's why somebody, you know, to hate innocent people will be shamed, you know, by God. And dwelling place of the wicked or the evil people will come to nothing. So come to be vain, you know, like that. So here, the verses 19 through 22, last question, is the suffering only result of sin? The last question. Is the suffering only result of sin? Jesus answered two examples. First of all, to illness, ill is you know, the suffering kind of stuff, illness. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to Jesus a paralytic. Paralytic meaning like you know, a person who is not able to walk, you know, freely. That is, you know, paralyzed person, paralyzed patient is called, you know, paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their face, he said to the paralytic, paralyzed patient, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." So basically, this sentence, this context, we know this paralytic patient, paralytic illness comes from his sins, because Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." So in chapter 9, in that context, we can figure out, you know, that paralytic, you know, come from, you know, sexual disease kind of thing, you know, so we can reasonably or understood, you know, in that way. But John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, here another illness, blindness here. "Now as Jesus passed by, Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked Jesus, saying, 'Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" That question is, his disciples thought as exactly the same as Bildad's thought, because blindness is bad happening, bad result, must come from bad reason. So that's why, who sinned? That's the real question. But Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So basically, in order to reveal God's work, God allowed that man who was blind from birth. That's God's answer. So that's why, you know, our suffering caused by our own sin, or not our own sin, according to God's good purpose. Because Jesus teaches in two ways. So that's why we face suffering. First of all, we should ask the Lord, "Lord, reveal my heart. I don't know, what's wrong. So please teach me, reveal my eye where I am wrong. I was wrong." Then if you don't know still, then you should ask the Lord, "I am waiting on the Lord, so I am continually trusting in the Lord, fully." So keeping on, God's work, continuing like that. So here also another example, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 through 40. So they are the innocent children of God. God suffered so many bad things here. They were stones, they meaning the faithful, innocent Christians. They were stones, they were sawn into two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. Like in the two Iranian Christians were slain because of Christianity. So, you know, slain status was a bad thing. No good thing, you know, that is, you know, the suffering things come down, you know, like that. But their cause is a good cause. Because of faith, they were slain. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Lot of suffering, of whom the world was not worthy. So in the world view, those are not worthy. They wandered in desert and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Good testimony through, because of faith, they got and suffered. Very good testimony. But did not receive the promise. Did not receive the promise. The promise in this context to see Jesus Christ again. The promise. Did not see, receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So God is prepared for them the better thing in heaven. So also Job chapter 42 verse 12 and 13, Job you know, confessed by his position here. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. So more blessed, that's the final the blessing at Job's physical life. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen. So a lot of possessions recovered, more recovered, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters again. So at the latter days of Job's physical life, we see God give more blessings. That is the Job in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, Job's confession right here. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. You can do everything, which meaning God is the Almighty. Whatever you want, you can do it. And then no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So nobody can hold God's purpose. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. So human being cannot understand completely why God is doing this kind of suffering. Things are too wonderful for me, which I did not know, I did not understand. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. My eye sees you, which meaning the Job's spiritual eye is open. Now he can understand why God allows Job to have suffering. Therefore, I uphold myself and repent in dust and ashes. So basically, God gave suffering to purify the Job's face. So here, children of God sometimes has suffering, but first of all, during our physical life, so there is the suffering depends upon a point of lifetime. For example, Job, so during suffering time, Job could not understand why God didn't give suffering, but Job's lifetime at the latter day, he could understand why God, you know, giving the suffering to Job. So Job now said, God, you know, wanted Job, you know, to be purified his face. Also, children of God's, you know, physical life are not, you know, limited to physical life, but also extending to eternity. Eternity. That's why, you know, all things up to God's full control, then we need, you know, full trust in God. Also, we need, you know, be faithful, no matter, you know, suffering. So we already talked about, you know, the 1994, you know, one Iranian Christian was killed for faith, but 95, you know, another Iranian Christian was killed. But because of that happening, after the, you know, those people's death, so because of that happening, right now 1 million New Testament, you know, printed, are spread out in Iran. So that's a good purpose. So now we can understand, you know, why God allowed, you know, two Iranian Christians to be slain. So now, you know, we can understand. So that's why, although we cannot understand, you know, at a certain point of our physical life, we still trust in the Lord who has, you know, full control. He has a good purpose, so we should be, you know, faithful. Let's just see each question. What's the main point of this Bill Dodd's answer in this context? Simply, Job, confess your hidden sins and repent it. You know, repent them. That is the main point. Job, confess your hidden sin and repent it. Question 2. In verse 2, how long will you speak of these things? And the words of your mouth be like a strong wind. What does the phrase of a strong wind mean in this context? That means strong wind, empty word, pointless word, useless word. Hi, Job. Question 3. In verses 19 through 22, like a Bildad's intimation, is suffering always a direct result of a person's sin? The answer is no. Because the children of God sometimes, you know, suffers something, not because of his own sin, not only because of his own sin, but, you know, because of God's good purpose. So that's why, you know, we should, you know, trust in God's, you know, full control over not only earth, you know, but also whole universe. So we need, you know, full trust in the Lord. You know, we should be faithful. But that is the answer. Okay, let's just sing song all together. Page 2, number 3. Page 2, number 3.